Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. I'm going to hit some of the trending topics of the day and of the night and of the week, really, because when they just trend, don't they? One of our guests coming up, Dave Berg. We've had him on before. He is the former executive producer for The Jay Leno Show. The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He's the author of Behind the Curtain. You know, when you see shows, sometimes there really are two shows, one that goes on behind the scenes and the one that we get to see on the air. Dave is going to sort of make some comments on what Jay Leno did this week, which is he came out and said, you know, the way I feel about it is the late night host and too much comedy, they are so one-sided, and one-sided meaning anti-Trump, anti-conservative. And, you know, Jay Leno says, I used to be an equal opportunity insulter, for lack of a better term. So we're going to talk to Dave about that, because Dave's been saying that for years, and talk about his book, which has some really cool behind the scenes things coming up. Also, Michael Hart, the Heart of America show, he's the host of that, and he's got podcasts you can find, and his book Unknown America. You know, the big news from just a few hours back: the Senate has now voted to reject President Trump's emergency declaration trying to get funding for that border wall. And that has set up the first possible presidential veto. So in just a few moments, we'll hear some comments from President Trump about why the wall is so necessary, some of the latest numbers and briefings he's gotten from our southern border coming up. But first, some of the other trending topics. The Gambino crime family, all big news. In New York, what could be the city's biggest mob hit in more than 30 years. The head that they think he is the head of the Gambino crime family, Francesco Cali, a.k.a. Frankie Boy, shot to death last night. The killer shot him right in front of his own Staten Island home 16 times and then ran him over to finish the job, say law enforcement. Cali was 53 years old, and there it is. There's the yellow tape that goes up, and then, you know, we'll find out what goes on from here. Will they figure out who it was? The last crime family boss to be shot in New York City was Paul Castellano. A little picture of that outside the Sparks Steakhouse in Manhattan in 1985. The family, the Gambino crime family, once among the most powerful criminal organizations in all of the U.S. To that college cheating scandal, here come the lawsuits. A couple of students are now suing over it all. The University of Southern California, Yale University, and several other elite colleges are being sued, as of today, just by two Stanford U students who claim they were denied a fair opportunity for admission. And even though they're now at Stanford, not too bad, they say their degrees are devalued due to the whole scheme. You know, they might be right. Erica Olson and Kalia Woods filed the class action suit a day after the feds say they uncovered one of the largest college admin scams to hit the U.S. This guy, some Mr. Singer out of Newport Beach, is the alleged mastermind. And his last name, Singer, he is singing and telling them everything they want to know about who, what, when, and where. And there are more people coming down the pike that could be accused and charged. The lawyers do estimate there will be thousands of plaintiffs who fit the criteria for that class status action. And also, just some other news, USC is reviewing students and grads who may be linked to college admissions cheating scandal. The applicants who are in the current cycle, who might be attached to this, they're automatically going to be denied, they say. And those already there, it's going to be a case-by-case review. We'll see what the other universities say in coming days. Our Border Patrol agents are spending more time processing illegal aliens than actually monitoring the border, which is what they're supposed to be doing. This is just one note from the White House as President Trump seeks emergency action to build that wall, which, of course, we just said that they halted him today, but he'll probably veto that. Quote, the price we pay is steep. Human smugglers exploit our broken border, profiting off migrants and that they treat as cargo. One in three women sexually assaulted along the way, it's estimated. And criminals who evade our system are responsible for thousands of assaults, drug crimes, and murders. And President Trump gave a little press conference today talking about all this. We'll chat more coming up with Michael Hart again of Heart of America. And all eyes are on that border crisis. Stick with America Trends. We're back after this.
Tens of thousands of innocent Americans are killed by the vast quantities of deadly poisonous drugs that are smuggled across our nation's very porous borders. They're a lot less porous with us there, but they're coming in bigger numbers.
Welcome back to America Trends. Former Tonight Show host Jay Leno has come into the spotlight in recent days for talking about Well, it's just the truth that other late-night comics and comedians in general, a lot of Hollywood really, are very one-sided when it comes to targeting people with their comedy. Here we go. Look at Donald Trump, President Trump retweeting. Jay Leno points out that comedy on the very boring late-night shows is totally one-sided. It's tough when there's only one topic. Actually, the one-sided hatred on these shows is incredible for me, unwatchable. But remember, we are number one. Did he just sign that hashtag or tag the president? But that's the thing about it. Jay Leno says there's plenty of ammo on both sides. He said, I used to be an equal opportunity person who would, I would always like to humiliate and degrade both sides equally. But furthermore, Leno says there are topics that people are missing out on because they are so focused on President Trump. It's sort of neat, too, because our friend of the show, Dave Berg, was the executive producer for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno for some 18 years. You can follow him on social media, and my goodness, you must get his book. It's got so many great tidbits. It's called Behind the Curtain, an insider's view of Jay Leno's Tonight Show. And Dave, welcome back to America Trends.
Thanks for having me back, Amy.
It's good to see you. You know, you and I have talked a few times about things just like this. And now Leno's sort of coming out and saying, yeah, this is true. And he's getting attention and traction. I think he was on the Today Show or something like that. And they really don't want to hear it. They just want to slam on him. But he probably has a point because when you just start targeting Trump, he's right. You miss so many other elements that, you know, this principle of using comic relief, going back to Will Rogers and beyond, really does pinpoint things in politics that need to have the spotlight on them that we address with humor, but they are addressing something very, very serious.
I do think Jay made an excellent point, and I really think that he made a point that reflects the views of the average American. Now, Jay's kind of a very civil guy and a polite guy. What he didn't say is, you know, just outright, you have late night hosts who have a political agenda and they're doing anti-Trump jokes 24/7. Yeah, that's what he was saying, although he didn't use those words. But most people don't like that. And it's a very serious thing that they did, because as you pointed out, there's been a great American tradition going back to, say, Mark Twain even.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Where the purpose of comedy was to take the condition of human beings, mm-hmm. the common condition that we all have, and do jokes about it. And that was a way to bring us together and to help get us through it. Now, instead, you have political identity jokes, specifically political identity involving anti-Trump jokes. And it's very, very destructive of the well-being of America. We've relied on humor to bring us together. Mm-hmm. You also pointed out that as a result of comedians doing those jokes, they're not doing other jokes, such as jokes about the college crisis, the finance crisis that we have seen. Now, they did some mild ones, but not really strong ones. Political correctness on campuses, AOC, mm-hmm. the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi. I could go on and on. Those jokes aren't being told.
We can go on and on, but for them, in my viewpoint, as someone who leans conservative, let's face it, Donald Trump and anything he does for the late night comedians and their audiences, which I feel like they're almost conditioned to just laugh along with anything they say, people on The View, those audiences, Trump jokes are low hanging fruit. And there are certain areas, let's face it, the West Coast and East Coast, not the flyover states necessarily, that it's just sort of understood that you will say a Trump joke, you will say a Trump punchline, and people will laugh. But you are forgetting the silent majority that voted him in and might vote him in again in 2020. And, you know, again, it's not just New York and L.A., right? Right, Dave?
No. Yes, the flyover states happen to be very important. And as a matter of fact, as I always pointed out when I was at the Tonight Show and Jay took me seriously, the flyover states were the ones that were bringing us our ratings. They're very, very important, because they understood that more than any other show, we were appealing to all sides. We were an equal opportunity abuser of all.
And you know, oh look, I wonder what year that is. Could have been anything, because I'm sure he was on there multiple times. Donald Trump, real estate mogul back in the day before, well, it might have been a glint in his eye to become president, but no one really knew if he ever would, right?
It wasn't, as a matter of fact, it wasn't a glint in his eye. That was his intention from the word go. I first booked him in 1999 when he ran as an independent. And then from that point going forward, we promoted his books, The Art of the Deal, The Art of the Comeback, and then especially The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice, where he was basically, I was confused, because all he wanted to talk about politics, and I thought, how is that promoting The Apprentice? How is that promoting Celebrity Apprentice? But he was doing a test run as president. He was testing ideas on our show and others.
Dave, that's so interesting to hear you say that. That's not been said a lot in And looking back at 2020 hindsight, very, very interesting. Talking to Dave Berg, author of Behind the Curtain, an insider's look at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He was EP for him for some 18 years. And we're coming up in just about a minute for a break, Dave, but we're going to hold you over. But I do have to say, going back to Mark Twain, Will Rogers, all these, we could probably do a whole show on why it is so important to use humor to sort of wink and bring us together. And not have, you know, in this day and age, especially recently, there's hatred on both sides. There's not just, we don't like your ideas, it's you're bad, you're evil, how could you? And it's really gotten away from people on both sides of the aisle being able to, like, clink glasses and give a wink and a smile and come together, you know, with humor or with anything. Humor's just a great vehicle, a great tool for it. But it takes away so much when we do lose it. We just can't say that enough, can we?
And when I say it's a serious problem, I really mean it, because by definition, when you are just doing jokes about one side, and by the way, let me just say this, there should be Trump jokes. There should be all kinds of Trump jokes every night. I didn't say it before, but I want to be clear about it. Yeah. But the problem is, when you're only doing jokes about one side, in this case, you're doing jokes about Donald Trump, and the punchline isn't for humor, and it's not a punchline, it's really a political agenda, you've crossed over the line of humor into political propaganda.
Too far, we would say. It's lame and it's lazy. I think a lot of people will agree. Dave Berg, we're going to come right back with you. There you are with Leno after this. You're with America Trends here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Love to see you on our websites there so we can all hang out together and connect on social media. We're going to be talking to Michael Hart of Heart of America, the Heart of America show. You know, he's a Southern man deep in the heart of Alabama, cranky, conservative Christian, and he likes to throw things when he gets upset. If you ever see him out at a coffee shop or at an airport, ask him about Uranium One. Get him to throw something. Could be a little fun. Videotape it for us if you would. But one of the headlines today we're going to be talking to Michael Hart about is the Senate voting to reject President Trump's emergency declaration to try to get that wall built. He wants some $8 billion. It is setting us up for perhaps President Trump's first veto. So we'll see what happens from there. But we are also talking about politics and late night comedy and comedy in general with someone who really knows what he speaks, Dave Berg. He is a columnist for USA Today and a number of other publications. He was almost 20 years co-producer, executive producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And he's got this great book, Behind the Curtain, that you have to pick up. Well, you know, I think I want to talk about that in a few minutes, some of the interesting tidbits, because there are so many fun things behind the curtain to learn about. But we're also talking to Dave tonight about Jay Leno coming out and saying, you know, to be fair, people are on Twitter saying, well, Leno politicized things. He talked about, they say he exploited the death, many people, of Nicole Brown Simpson and Rod Goldman with OJ jokes and Monica Lewinsky weight jokes and jokes about Clinton and her and what they did in the Oval Office that I won't speak about. But Leno's point was he liked to humiliate and degrade both sides equally. And I think that was his point, right?
That was exactly his point, but let's be honest, nobody's perfect. I personally didn't like the excessive number of Monica Lewinsky jokes myself. I think they were legitimate. I thought we did too many. But again, nobody's perfect. And I think there's a temptation to do jokes like that because you really don't have to worry about the setup. You can go right to the punchline. And so that's the reason. But in general, I have to give Jay credit. He wanted to carry out the great American tradition of doing jokes about everyone. And in the long run, essentially bringing people together, not tearing people apart.
That's such a good point, right? I mean, that's what's happening more and more. And, you know, we can point to social media and people arguing and yelling and having this great divide. But late night comedy and other comics, they're just not helping because it's not funny. It's a lot of hate, and that's just no good.
Yes, and what's interesting is the number of top-rated comedians who don't like it either. You look at people like Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, right. Yeah,
And people like that, they don't like political identity. They and Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock and other top comedians will not even appear on college campuses because of the extreme political correctness. Mm-hmm. So it's not just me saying that or you saying that. It's very important figures in the world of comedy.
Very important. I mean, there are a few bigger names than Jerry Seinfeld, and it's actually been a few years, perhaps, I think maybe even before Trump got into office, that Seinfeld came forward and said, you know what, this PC stuff on campus is a bunch of junk, and I don't even want to appear there anymore. And that was before, just a few months back, 2 or 3 months back, where this new headline, and there's always a headline that gets promoted more on social media, where all of a sudden, I don't know, some millennials got a load of what Seinfeld used to be like, and all of a sudden they had a problem with some of the jokes because they weren't PC enough for them. I mean, what are you talking about? And so you just have to shake your head, and you almost can't take it seriously, laughably enough, with comedy.
Well, what they don't understand, and I have to really blame their professors and perhaps their high school teachers, you cannot judge a person today based on what they said 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago. Society is changing and evolving, and it simply isn't fair. What if everybody in the future became vegans? And then started making judgments based on, say they judged Martin Luther King and said he was a horrible, evil man because he ate meat. That's an absurdity.
Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, you could almost do classes in universities about how shows like Seinfeld brought the gamut up for political correctness when they did shows like, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yes.
It made fun of people who would be biased toward gays, because if you watch Seinfeld, you know what that means. So, oh, well, they might be gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because they didn't want anyone to think they were against. This is the whole show. You have to go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. But things like that are what made us laugh at ourselves and say, why are we so judgmental about things? So people aren't even getting the right idea about any of this. And why not? Because if they were let into college because they're not smart enough and they got paid to, none of these collegiates who are judging are even smart enough to be there in the first place. So let the academics handle it. Right, Dave?
Right. But you are so right. I'm going to affirm what you said about Jerry Seinfeld. Those jokes were not anti-gay. They were the opposite.
Exactly. They were making fun of people who were that way. Just as, go back to Archie Bunker, All in the Family. They were pinpointing people who were racist. They weren't celebrating it. And if you don't get that, then I don't know what to tell you.
Well, the problem is people don't get that. That's what's scary. We are now basically a humorless society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Humorless because people don't want to tell jokes. They're afraid to.
Mm-hmm. It is. And yeah, and everything's changing. I think we're right in the crux of it changing so quickly that when you and I talk again in 3 months or 6 months, the landscape's going to look completely different yet again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So don't judge me then on what I said today.
Oh, I mean, come on, people. Because just real quickly, going back to what you said, if people want to criticize Jay Leno talking about the O.J. Simpson trial, he wasn't making fun of, let's face it, two people who were murdered. And I know some of the family of Nicole Brown Simpson. It's no joke. But the court drama got to be really something. It got to be a little bit of a joke because of just how inane it all was. And what President Clinton brought to the White House, some of the unspeakable things, that's low-hanging fruit, too, and that's just what comics do. But, Dave, I don't want to... I appreciate you talking about all this. I've got about a minute left, but I want to talk about your book and what you're doing now. I understand you've got this... Besides doing all the commentary in USA Today and your book, you are now writing songs for someone, and you've got a hit in Europe right now. What is going on with you? You're a Renaissance man, I guess.
I don't know what's going on. I have a number one country hit on the European charts. I love Luann Hunt, who sang the song after it was rejected by others in Nashville. And after I was afraid, Garth Brooks once asked me if I would just show him my song, and I was afraid to do it because I thought they weren't good enough. Oh. But Luann looked at it and said, I'm going to do it, and now it's number one on the country charts in Europe. Whatever that means, I don't know.
Oh, my. Dave, what's the name of it?
It's called The Rhythm.
The Rhythm, and it's sung by Luann Hunt, written by our buddy Dave Berg. And you sent us, we weren't able to download it yet, but we're going to try to get that song. We're going to have you back in coming days to talk more about your budding career here. And then tell us where we can find your book, Dave.
Well, you're very kind. You can just go on Amazon.
Of course.
Or you can come to me whenever I give a talk.
That'd be great. And you're in Southern California, right?
I certainly am.
Okay. We'll have to get you in the studio sometime. We'll have a lot of fun. At Tonight Show, Dave is where you can find him online. Dave, I can't tell you how much we appreciate having you on. We'll see you next time, okay?
Thank you so much, Amy.
The Senate is jumping in and deciding that they are rejecting President Trump's emergency declaration to try to garner, $8 billion to secure the border, build a wall. We're spending far more than that vetting people and Border Patrol trying to keep them out. The news today is they're spending more time trying to harness these illegal aliens than monitoring the border itself, trying to even just process them as they come in. So we're here with Michael Hart of the Heart of America show, always a lot of fun, straight in the heart of Birmingham. And Michael Hart, I'll never forget the first time I read about you in your little bio. It said Christian conservative cranky. And you had me at Christian conservative and cranky, to be honest, and that you sometimes throw things. Do you have anything in your midst today do you have your Trump pillow there with you?
Actually, Amy, I do have the pillow, but currently the doodle is sleeping on it, so I don't have anything to throw because I've pretty much thrown everything that there is. I could go after one of my Confederate war pictures in the back, but outside of that, watching the news of the day, I'm thrown out.
So it's very upsetting days and weeks for you, and you're done throwing things for now. That's sad.
Yeah, well, it kind of is, but, you know, I've thrown a fit, I've thrown a tantrum, I've thrown my back out, and so I've pretty much, I've just decided I just can't do anymore. I'm getting too old.
We just throw our backs out laughing at your quips, Michael. Listen, when you say doodle, does that mean you have a Labradoodle or something laying on your Trumpy pillow?
I actually have a golden doodle around here somewhere. I think she must be a liberal because she's unemployed and all she does is sleep in my basement.
God, I hear you have two Weimaraners. I tell them that all the time. Well, we get bonus points for guests who show their pets, so we'll have to remember that for some time. But the big thing today, I mean, there's so much to go on. So many great headlines. And what I love about you, too, is besides your take on them, you have your guests who call in and spout off. So we get your take. Beto O'Rourke throwing his hat in the ring, and people are saying, he actually could, this guy from Texas, be the Democratic frontrunner in 2020? Okay. Mueller probe coming to an end and a demand for everything to be made public. The cheating scandal? How rich is that? Sandman, the young, one of the MAGA hat kids in D.C., what are they suing CNN and Kathy Griffin and Bill Maher for? How much is it?
$275 million,
Hello.
And that's just the start.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they're not going to get that money, but they're definitely making a political point. There's no doubt.
And why not? Punitive, whatever. People should watch. You don't. I mean, going after kids like that, and meanwhile, people in Congress who want to diss on the Jews, they get a free pass, and you know.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So do you want to start off with the Senate and the declaration, or you want to talk about Beto O'Rourke? What is your fancy today, Michael?
Well, you know, we've been talking about pretty much all of it all day long, Amy, and of course on my program in the morning as well. You know, O'Rourke just a little while ago came out and said that if he was elected president, he would do away with corporal punishment at the federal level, and that's all fine and well. You know, they've all got their little, you know, their little boutique pieces of legislation or policy they want to put through. But, you know, I think right now the total counting of the Democrat presidential candidates is around 16 or 17, and for the most part, they're all singing the same song. I don't know that there's enough Democrat donor dollars to go around. I mean, they're going to have to borrow some cash from Lori Loughlin so they can support some of these guys, because at the end of the day, there's so many candidates. I mean, how can you financially support them? I don't think any of them are going to be that successful once we get past the novelty of their announcement that they're going to raise any funds, unless, of course, they're going to enroll in USC.
Stop it. Lori Loughlin, famously of Full House fame, an actress who is, she got arrested and charged along with Felicity Huffman. And those are just, you know, I don't want to give them a free ride, but those are the names that we're familiar with that allegedly paid up to millions of dollars to have their kids put into whatever college they wanted, give them whatever score. Oh, and here's a personal tennis instructor for Michelle Obama. Her daughter's charged in bribery scheme. Who knows how connected it is? But the FBI does say it goes far and wide. There are more and more and more. And what happened earlier this week is some 300 agents in six states went out and they arrested almost 50 people. Banging on the door in the morning, a la Roger Stone, guns drawn, because of this. And Michael, isn't it interesting that people said, how did this come to light? Well, about 10, 12 months ago, they were looking to some other undercover op. They got a whiff of this. And then that started everything. And now all of these things, and everyone's saying, well, is anyone so shocked that the rich are paying to have their kids smuggled in? And these are people who say, you know, they're all for equality and people not jumping ahead of where they should be in line. Yet, well, what just happened, right?
Well, you know, it didn't really shock me that much, although, I'm kind of perplexed by the whole thing. But, you know, some years ago, we did a story about well-heeled New York parents that were actually hiring disabled children to go to Disney World so their kids could break in line because their supposed, you know, cousin Ambrose over here is in a wheelchair. Oh. And, you know, there's been so many times over the years. And don't you find it just a little bit on the ironic side that you've got all these Democrats, particularly the ones that are going to the Academy Awards, they're patting themselves on the back, giving themselves awards and whatnot for being just great humanitarians and so tolerant. And it turns out each and every day we're finding out they're the biggest criminals out there. And I still, for the life of me, cannot understand how anybody can support the Democrat Party. You know, now we've got, as you pointed out a moment ago, I don't know if the Obamas are involved in any of this, but at this stage of the game, I don't think anybody would be surprised, because where there's smoke, there is fire. This tennis coach picked up $3 million getting kids on tennis teams. Give me a break.
And that's one coach alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I listened to a conservative host this week, and he went through and he said, out of these 46 people, two are large GOP donors, but the rest, all Democratic donors. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's just, it just goes to show, I mean, we've all got our stuff, right? So be careful when you live in glass houses, because actress Felicity Huffman and then Lori Loughlin and supposedly, gosh, which one was it? Oh, there's a media mogul actually out of San Diego area. And they allege that she made even a phony picture. This is what they did. They took pictures. This is allegedly of her kid pole vaulting. Take someone's body, put his head on it, submit it, and say he's being, they want him to come pole vault at your college, and then he gets an easier access. So it's very, it's so complex. And these people got in. And we're just going to be hearing about this. Is that Elizabeth Himmel right there, I think? Yeah, she's out of La Jolla. She used to own a TV station here in San Diego. Paid bribes allegedly to have her son shown as a talented pole vaulter to get him into USC. Tried to get her daughter into Georgetown as a tennis recruit. And here's why the IRS is involved, as you know. Himmel alone allegedly used a foundation to pay the bribes. So people are doing these roundabout things to not only pay the bribes, but get a tax break. You can't make this up, right? They can play themselves in the movie, right, Michael?
That's exactly right. But you know what's really funny to me about it, Amy, is that you've got these people that are advocates for the Democrat socialist left, and they've been pretty vocal about liberal ideologies and whatnot. And maybe now people will see that these folks are so well-heeled and they are so disenfranchised from reality that the people that are the most vocal about the policies of the Ocasios and the O'Rourkes of the world will be the same people that would be the least affected by them. So, of course, you know, they can all be about socialism and everybody taking the same bus to work because they're paying $6 million to get their brat on a lacrosse team to ride the bench. And so it's amazing to me.
Did you just say their brat to ride the bench? Could you repeat that? That was a lovely little
riff. Well, yeah. It's true. They got, you know, they got their brat riding the bench on the lacrosse team because they're never going to make the field. And then, of course, you know, if they don't make it at USC or Duke or wherever, they can always go off and be, you know, an influencer so they can, you know, get young girls to buy the right thong bikini because, after all, it's swimsuit season.
Oh, my God, Michael. I have no response to that. Just going to wheel back a minute. You bring up AOC, though, and she's the big one that's a Green Deal. Oh, we're going to die in 12, 10 years, whatever. And she's the one that they're not even sure she lived in her proper apartment complex in New York where she's supposed to represent. She's taking all these Ubers where she could be walking to New York. What better place to walk? And then she moves into this luxury high rise in D.C. once she gets there, and people are calling hypocrite big time. More to talk about that. We're going to keep you after the break, Michael Hart, because we always love your take on it all. Back here on America Trends, talking to our friend Michael Hart of Heart of America. And Michael and I were just sort of chatting in the commercial break. If you're on Twitter, you will see that trending today. First Lady, why does it say First Lady Rosario Dawson in a play now that she's Rosario Dawson, an actress from, well, she's been around for a couple decades. Men in Black 3. She was in Rent, the movie, I think. Yep, there she is. She admits, I am dating Cory Booker, and she says, he's amazing. So what Michael's quip was, they've got to start extending SNL from 3 hours to beyond because there's just too much. Right, Michael?
Pretty much so, because, you know, the political theater today, Amy, is just like one continuing SNL script. And it's been really, really funny to watch it unfold. And I would cry if not for laughing about things going on in this country today. But I would like to say that the Booker girlfriend bears a striking resemblance to Ocasio-Cortez. So I can't wait for Joy Behar to point her out that she's probably a doppelganger for Ocasio. So we'll see where that goes.
Gosh, so you could have the movie about Dawson and Cory Booker, and then after the movie you could have fan fiction of people working AOC into it. It just goes on and on. Hey, Michael, I want to make sure we know that you have this great book called Unknown America. And it's been out for a minute, so I know you're working on the second, third, fourth editions because so much is going on. Unknown America talks about some of the things we should have learned in school but didn't, or perhaps learned wrong. Why portraits of the Declaration of Independence are completely wrong. Which is the only state to have three governors in one day? Who really invented the airplane? All these good, interesting things. And I don't know how you would even get to parse down what would be in part two, Michael. Have you thought about it and made any notes yet?
Well, you know, I've got a ton of notes, Amy, and that's kind of the problem. I've got too much information because the book started out to be a couple hundred pages long, and it ended up becoming its own little Wikipedia, and I just started having to edit it all out. I've got probably 10,000 pages of material. And, you know, one of the stories that's actually in the original book that I'm going to elaborate on in the second one, because the book basically gets into all the things going on in, like, the news today that the media has just gotten wrong because I make the comparison between what's happened in the past to what's going on in the present. And a lot of people don't realize that the Speaker of the House does not have to be a member of the Speaker of the House of Representatives. They can vote anybody in that they want to. And there, I made a comment yesterday that might be part of the reason that Nancy Pelosi is backtracking from the Donald Trump impeachment chatter, because she finds herself embattled all of a sudden, and you could theoretically have Ocasio-Cortez, ascend to that position, or they could bring in her next-door neighbor who's been braiding her hair on the weekends to be Speaker of the House if they take control, and it's going that direction.
Okay, I just need to settle into what you just said. So House of Representatives doesn't even have to be a member to be called Speaker of the House.
No.
Yet they'd still be, is that third in line to the presidency? And Ocasio-Cortez, if it were her, which people were saying, oh, let's get her to run in 2020. She's not even close to being of age yet.
Well, that's right. And people don't realize that constitutionally speaking, now there's never been a non-member as being Speaker of the House, but it is possible. And I think, you know, Nancy Pelosi, as it relates to impeachment, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with not dividing the country. Heck, they've already done that. Impeaching Trump would be an afterthought. He's after party stuff now. So I think she's protecting her backside because she's rankled. She's rankled so many people in the recently indoctrinated, inaugurated, and recently installed 63 the House members, and I think they're coming after Pelosi. So number one, they theoretically could impeach her and install their own member if they wanted to. And if that was the case, she, believe it or not, would need Trump's help. I think that standing up for Trump, at least in terms of him not being important enough to impeach, is her way of standing in defiance in the face of this very Democrat socialist wave, because she doesn't know what to do about it.
I think you're right. I think there is probably, we can surmise, if you're watching it all, you can say, what is going on? The whirlwind in the Democratic Party, her trying to handle these people. Because at the beginning, with AOC, which just is a cute nickname for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a freshman congresswoman from New York, whom the media loves, and 2 years ago was a bartender. And by the way, everyone should note that video that's going around saying who's really behind this woman, how'd she ascend so fast? Because that's worth looking into. Ilhan Omar, who can't go a few days without insulting the Jews just over and over again. And at first, you thought Nancy Pelosi was maybe just trying to have their back and let them get their sea legs on. Now, people are saying, we don't think she can control them if she wanted to.
No, absolutely not. And do you remember during the State of the Union address, Joe Manchin stands up and he starts to applaud the president's remarks. And Nancy Pelosi gives us this askance look as though she's shooting lasers out of her eyes. And then every time a representative from the House would stand up and applaud Trump, they're all suddenly sitting down very meekly. And then you bring in Ocasio-Cortez, who's openly challenging her. This woman's got something up her sleeve. I do believe there must be at least an aspect of her being a Manchurian candidate. But if anybody in the House of Representatives can bring Nancy Pelosi down, believe it or not, it is this 29-year-old yoga-wearing, Manhattan-making chick who is more concerned about whether or not she's going to have rice on the weekends and whether or not she's living in a van down by the Potomac River. So at the end of the day, she's a threat to Pelosi, and Pelosi knows it. And the irony is, Pelosi would need Trump to come to her defense.
You do wonder how, I mean, Ocasio-Cortez, when you have the media behind you, the mainstream media, it sort of gives you a little ammunition, a little power. But does she have more than we even suspect? Who really is the fuel behind her? And when you say Manchurian candidate, it just makes me want to say, until we get some answers, we will have these conspiracy theories. And by the way, let's not forget, I don't know how many days it's been, but, there she is. That's the girl of the hour. Let's just bring up the name. Have we talked about Ruth Bader Ginsburg in a few weeks? She showed up for maybe a minute. I don't know if she's coming to oral arguments or not. No one has said, but we've got this whole thing about people just don't want Trump to have another nominee on the Supreme Court. We don't know how well she is. She popped in for a minute, and I don't know if she ever went back to work, but they thought that was going to be just the end, all the explanation they needed for everybody. But where really is Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I don't know. We haven't covered her a whole lot. But, you know, at the end of the day, I guess if you're compelled to do so, Amy, everybody can muster up the energy to go pick up a bottle of Pinot. And maybe that's exactly what she's done here, because she seemed to keep going back to the House. And, you know, I guess, writing her briefs or perhaps preparing her memoirs, I don't really know. But I also believe that there's something going on behind the scenes. I think she's staving off the inevitable, because she knows that Donald Trump is going to get another nomination out of her. There's no way this woman can go the distance. And, you know, she's probably going to live that long, but I don't know that she's going to be able to serve that long. And so she knows that she is going to have a new nomination come up behind her. The funny thing is they've been waiting up to this point for Trump's approval ratings to diminish more and more and more so they can have the opportunity to perhaps get a more moderate, if not a liberal, nominee. But no, his approval ratings are going so high, he could nominate pretty much anybody and get away with it these days.
Michael Hart, I'm telling you, all these headlines we're talking about now, the border crisis, the veto, that pales in comparison. I'm telling you, the real story is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she's 85. They are set for life on the Supreme Court. So it's her ability. It's her. If she wants to be there, fine. But maybe she can't do the job. Who knows? So we will stay tuned for that. Thanks, Michael. Boy, we sure do appreciate you being with us for the hour here on America Trends on the YouTube America TV Network and on the Great Biz Talk Radio Network. There we are. If you want to find us at this website, u2america.com, it's very simple. You see where it says Twitter feed? You can just click there and find us on Twitter or on Instagram. Facebook, too. Be our friend there. And we can all connect and keep up with what each other is doing. And there it is, Facebook, u2america.com, Biz Talk Radio, all those good things. So we will see you there. We'll see you there. And we want to thank our guest for tonight, Dave Berg, former executive producer for The Jay Leno Show, talking about all the disparity in late night comics and how they sort of, they bend toward making fun of Trump and not the other side. And Dave Berg, author of Behind the Curtain, always nice to have him on. And then Michael Hart of the Heart of America show. Finally tonight, here's what else is trending. The brand new trailer that you have, again, trending very highly, for Marvel Studios' Avengers Endgame. It's in theaters April 26th, and here is your first look.
God, seems like 1,000 years ago. I fought my way out of that cave. Became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best, and sometimes the best that we can do is to start over.
I saw all these people die. I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
I like this one.